Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to try this platform here. I like it. Let's open in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his great sacrifice on the cross, where he took our judgment and died for our sins, that we all may be saved and brought into glory with thee. Thank you, Father. We thank you that he's still saving people today. Father, we thank you for giving us thy written word. We ask you to bless the written word, reading of the word to us now. Guide us all by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, there's a few things on my heart today that I'd like to share with everybody. First, I'd like to say, last two or three times I've been up here, I've been wanting to give you all a good report about how the gospel's going forth in the different areas that I've been trying to spread the gospel in, but it just hasn't been happening that way. In fact, it's been quite the opposite. I've met a lot of opposition and a lot of rejection towards the gospel, towards Christ, even towards God in heaven. Don't even want to hear anything about it. So, it taught me a lot of lessons. I re-examined myself over and over again and saying, what, is something wrong with me? As I'm walking with the Lord, I says, what's wrong here? But I know the Lord has sent me to these different areas, and I can tell you afterwards how I know. He sent me to different areas. It seemed like he was deliberately sending me to areas that did not want anything to do with Christ or going to heaven. So as I sit back and reflect on the different situations, sometimes I get back to the house and I'm like, oh boy, that was rough. You sure you want me to go back there again? Yep. Next day, you go back there next day and go back next week too. I said, okay, Lord, I don't like it, but I'll go back and try it again. But I want to say it did get me to understand a little bit what Christ went through when he was walking this earth with his ministry. Now, I'm going to use a few different verses out of Isaiah here, the cross-reference. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, referring to Jesus here. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So I got a chance to relate a little bit to how Christ felt walking this earth. I mean, even though they didn't crucify me, I'm sure many of the people wanted to see me nailed on a cross next to Christ, but I made it through that. But so I got to relate a little bit to Christ, and even the people that weren't saved even they knew the scriptures a little bit. Yeah, Christ was despised, he was rejected. So normally you should be too, right? But as this has been going on for months now, and all the way through these months, certain scriptures just kept coming to my mind. Isaiah 53 and scriptures also in the New Testament just kept coming to my mind. Now, if you'd like to read with me, I'm going to open up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verse 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus is telling us, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And more people are going on that road to destruction. That means more people are going to hell than going to heaven. Just kept coming to my mind over these months. Yep, and I see this, because narrow is the way that leads to life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Also, what was on my mind is John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Here's where Jesus is trying to comfort his apostles before he goes to the cross. He knows he's going to heaven, going to go through the process of the cross, rise again from the dead, and go to heaven. So he's trying to comfort his apostles here. And he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is telling the people here, he's going to heaven, and the way to heaven is through himself. And no one can come to God the Father except through Christ. He is the way to heaven. He is the truth. Now, truth means the absolute honest fact. The absolute honest fact of God. You want to know the absolute honest fact of God? Come to Christ in his word. Now, the devil is considered the father of lies. The devil will have you go any other way except follow Christ in the truth. He has many people following all kinds of lies going to hell. In fact, the devil will have you following a lie all the way till you get to hell. And that's the way he wants it. But Christ came to stop that. In the life. There it is again. He is the life. That means eternal life. The eternal life is through Christ and Christ alone. Now, the next thing on my heart is the gospel and the good news. Good news of the gospel. Seems everywhere I go now, it's a part of my life to spread the gospel and the good news of the gospel. So for a testimony here today, let's go over the gospel. We see our reference verse up here on the board. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now the next verse will say, "And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." This is the gospel in its simplest form. Now there's all kinds of ways that I could bring out the gospel and expand on these thoughts, but I'm just going to bring out the thoughts that come to my mind according to each point. First, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Back to Isaiah 53. The things that come to my mind when I think of this, oftentimes I think of this, especially on Lord's Day. Isaiah 53, verse 11. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." He, meaning God the Father, shall see the travail of his soul, God the Son, on that cross. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By my righteous servant, Christ being the righteous servant, by my righteous servant, many shall be justified, for he shall bear our iniquities. Now, when I think of this sometimes, it oftentimes puzzles my mind. What does that really mean? And I'm sure many people have been trying to figure this out. The travail of his soul, bearing our iniquities. Well, we could have all kinds of different discussions about it, but let's look for a little insight in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we see Jesus saying in verse 27, this is before he's going to the cross, he's preparing to go to the cross, and he's telling the people that are with him, he's saying, "Now my soul is troubled," because he knows what his soul is going to go through on the cross. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." He came to go to the cross among all kinds of other things and to bring glory to God ultimately. We go down to verse 31 through 33 in the same chapter. Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The travail of his soul being rooted to the judgment of our sins being laid upon Christ on that cross. This may be something we'll never understand fully what it means and what Christ actually went through on the cross. But we know God the Father laid all of our sins on his Son on the cross and the judgment that goes along with it. See, God has to judge sin. He's a holy God. He has to judge sin. So he judged his Son on the cross. And it all took place deep into his soul. So that means Christ is fully aware of every sin mankind has ever committed or ever will commit. And the judgment of hell that goes along with it became fully aware to Christ on that cross. Now, I mean, we could expand these thoughts many different ways, but if you ever seen a loved one or a loved one or someone you care for in pain or suffering, and you can relate to exactly how they feel, you can kind of understand what they're going through. So Christ became fully aware of all of our sins that were laid upon him, perfect and holy God, and the judgment that goes along with it. All the hell that we all deserve to go to became fully aware to Christ on that cross. He experienced our darkness, our hell, our judgment. So none of us ever have to go to hell, never even have to look at hell, because Christ already took it for us on the cross. And this is why we praise him and we remember him and we glorify Christ here. Christ took our judgment and he died for our sins on the cross. The next verse says, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was buried. So let me look at the burial. I want to just use Isaiah 53 again. Isaiah 53, verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked, which goes along with being numbered with the transgressors. When Christ was crucified, there was a criminal to his left and a criminal to his right being crucified with him. That's why I think sometimes when you see a picture of a cross, you see a picture of three crosses on a hill. Christ was numbered with the transgressors, meaning a criminal to the right and a criminal to the left, all making it look like he was a criminal himself. But he did nothing wrong. Perfect and holy God, manifest in the flesh. But that's why I think sometimes, I have a gospel tract with three crosses on the front. Jesus paid it all. And that's where Christ paid it all, on the cross, in between two criminals that were crucified with him. He made his grave with the wicked. Numbered, that goes along with numbered with the transgressors. And with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. The burial. Now, let's look at the burial. John chapter 19. With the rich in his death. John chapter 19. What does it mean with the rich in his death? So let's look at the burial right here in John chapter 19. Let's go to verse 38 through 42. Let's read the burial. Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight, very expensive spices. And then they took the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. There was a new sepulchre, wherein never a man was laid before. This was a rich man's burial site, with the rich in his death. This was a rich man's burial site. A lot of times people buried more than one body in a burial site because they couldn't afford a rich man's tomb. So you would see multiple bodies in one burial site. But this one was a rich man's burial right here. Burial. Christ got a reverent burial, reverently taken down from the cross and reverently buried in a rich man's tomb with the rich in his death. Now the resurrection, just as important. Believing the resurrection of Christ is just as important as believing that Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins on the cross. Now, to prove this, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, sometimes known as the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read verse 17 through 19. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. God is telling us, if you don't believe the resurrection, your faith is vain. And you're still in your sins. And if you die in that condition, you are perished, which means you went to hell. You're going to hell. And besides all this, if only in this life you have hope in Christ, you're of all men most miserable. Now, we have a lot of joy in Christ while we're on this earth, okay? But I tell you what, when I get back after a hard day and say, wow, boy, that was tough. My hope is in Christ and eternal life. This is all but a vapor, God says. This is going to pass away compared to all eternity. This is but a vapor. My hope in Christ is eternal life and glory. God's word says I'm going to be there with Christ. Wherever he goes, I'm going with him. I belong to Christ. And everyone who belongs to Christ is going with him. So wherever he goes in eternity, you go with him. We know about the millennial kingdom. You go with him to the millennial kingdom on this earth. You go with him. Okay? This is our hope in eternal life. This is what brings us joy. Ultimate joy is going to be in glory with Christ for all eternity. Now, the next subject is spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. I've experienced spiritual darkness, say, 20 years ago. Boy, I was in spiritual darkness so much, it broke me down in tears night after night after night. It really had a big effect on me. Now, to be delivered from spiritual darkness, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Some people don't mind being in spiritual darkness. They kind of like it. It feels comfortable to them. But some people hate it. Like I was one of those persons that hated spiritual darkness. I couldn't get out of it because I was not going to the solution. Now here in this first chapter of Colossians, we see the mention of spiritual darkness here, referred to as the power of darkness. Now remember, in this chapter here, the portion that we're going to read, the blessings come from God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So let's read verse 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood that Christ shed on the cross for our sins. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the only way to be delivered from spiritual darkness. The power of darkness is through Christ and Christ alone. We can thank God the Father for sending his Son to deliver us from this power of darkness. Which takes me to my last subject here. I got to say, this is the good news part, all right? after months and months of just hearing rejection and opposition, and just seems I was fighting against spiritual warfare every day, brought me down quite a bit. Now I got a little bit of good news to mention to everybody here. Involving the park ministry. I know the Lord wants me in the park spreading the gospel, okay? So that's why I try to take part in it every time we can. I like the setup for one thing, and I know God wants me there. Now, I got to say, for the month of August, there's been quite a response for the gospel. People are being interested in the gospel. In fact, we pretty much emptied out our inventory on the table. We got to restock that. I restocked my bag. I had to reorder all my different tracks. It's been going on for the month of August. There's been an interest. Out of all the years, I got to say, this was probably the biggest interest I've seen in the gospel in the park. Besides all this, somebody actually came to Christ and got saved. And I know this because I witnessed it. I thank the Lord for being a part of it and being used. I'll tell you how it happened. We were preaching the gospel, and sometimes I'm the last one to go up and preaching the gospel. And I always go over the gospel and the good news and extend the invitation out for people who want to come to Christ. And they can do it right where they're at. They don't got to come to me. They can come to Christ right where they're at. You can come to Christ just where you sit there. You can come to Christ and be saved today. So this is basically the message that I was preaching. And then, you know, I saw this lady come walking up, and she come walking, stood right in the front. And this usually doesn't happen, okay? They might stand off to the side and listen a little bit. She come walking right up to the front. And as I was extending the invitation, I could see that she was more interested. So I kind of followed up on it a little bit more. And just try to emphasize it's yours today. You can be free. And I heard the bells ring. I know it was time to close. We closed in prayer. I started going back over to the table to put the materials back and regather up and stuff. And she come walking up to me, tears in her eyes, coming down, walking up to me. She says, "Oh, that was such a great message. I'm so glad to hear the love of Christ and being saved." And she says, I needed to hear that. And I saw the tears coming down, and I can tell that she wanted to talk some more. So let's go sit over here. Went over to a bench to go sit down over there, away from the crowd of people. And as we're over there sitting down talking, she just starts unloading all the different bad things, like, you know, how the way life has treated her bad, and just upsetting things that happened to her, and how she wants to be out of it. And I looked at her and I said, "I can recognize spiritual darkness." I says, "Well, it sounds like spiritual darkness to me." She says, "Yeah, spiritual darkness. That's exactly what it is. And I've been trying to get out of it. I says, "Listen, we can't get out of it on our own. Only God can bring us out of the spiritual darkness, and it's through Christ." She says, "Yeah, that's what I want." She says, "I want that. I want to be delivered from that. I want Christ. I want Him to deliver me and save me from this." I says, so I want to follow up a little bit. I says, sounds like you want to be saved." She says, "Yes, I want to be saved, but I don't know how to be saved. I heard the verses, I heard it, but I want to know how to make it real, make it my own." This is what God wants. He wants you to make it real, make it your own. Bring Christ and make it personal to yourself. So I went over the gospel with her. I want to make sure we're on the same wavelength here. I says, let me ask you a few questions. "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" "Yes." "Do you believe He died for your sins on the cross and rose again from the dead?" Now, the resurrection, as I was saying, is just as important as believing the resurrection. It's essential for salvation. Romans 10:9 says, "If you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved." That's definite salvation, okay? Now, confessing Jesus is Lord, that means you're confessing Jesus as your Lord, not just saying it, okay? So I'm going over the gospel with her. Christ died for your sins. You believe this. Now, I'll follow up a little bit more. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. I said, "Yes, I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. Savior, the one who saves, the only one who saves, Jesus Christ, the Son of God." She says, "Yes, I believe this." "Okay, You're willing to accept him and trust him as your Savior in your heart. Yes, I'm trusting him as my Savior. Okay, now it gets a little bit tougher. I got to find out if she's willing to receive him as her Lord. The scripture says we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I says, let me ask you, are you willing to receive Christ as the Lord of your life? Are you willing to receive Christ as your Lord? He says, yes, I am. I says, okay, let me make sure you know what this means. This means turning away from all sins in life, whatever that sin, whatever those sins bothered you, whatever they were, are you willing to turn away from all of it? Are you willing to turn away from going astray and following Christ as your Lord? He's your boss. Are you willing to receive Christ as your Lord? He says, yes, I am. Okay, now we're making progress. I can't believe it's happening, right? Her name is Demetra, by the way. We've got to keep her in prayer. Demetra, 55 years old. She told me she's 55 years old, and I heard years of stories, okay? But she says, yes, I believe the gospel. I believe the gospel. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and I will trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Okay, one more question. Do you believe that you're a sinner on your way to hell right now? Yes, I believe I'm a sinner on my way to hell right now. Wow. Okay. Well, let's see. You already believe all the facts, okay? Now, you believe the facts. Now you got to start quoting God on his word and start making it your own now. She says, I'm ready. So I look over. She got a pen and a paper already. She says, give them to me. Give me the references. I'm ready, right? I'm like, I wasn't expecting such a forceful response, but okay. She says, what's that verse where she's ready to write them down? What's that verse where God the Father says, come to Jesus and you won't be turned away? And I say to her, you mean all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. She says, yeah, that verse. And I look over and she's got a little Gospel of John in her hand from the table. I said, well, let's look it up right now, and you can make it your own right now. I says, now, I want to make sure you know how to look up verses. Every time you look up a verse, you go to book, chapter, verse. That's John chapter 6, verse 37. So we'll turn there. John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. Let's read this. What I was going to say was, I wasn't even preaching that verse. The person before me was preaching that verse. So I'm watching her flip through, and she's on like chapter 2, right? I'm like, keep going, you got to get to 6. Yeah, I know, don't worry, I'm getting there. Okay, I see where this is going. It's your day, all right? So flipping over, she's getting there. All right, chapter 6. I see John chapter 6, all right? All right, now look for verse 37. In front of each sentence, there's a number. Just go to verse 37. And then read it to me. She says, oh, I found it. 6:37. And I read it to me. She says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. She picked up on the old English pretty well, too. Shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Yeah, that's the verse right there. She tells me. She says, I was way down there. She's pointing to Park Street. I was way down there. I heard this being preached, and I came down. I said, I had to drop everything and go to wherever that preaching was. I'm like, wow. She's pointing to Park Street, down the corner of the park down there. She said, I had to drop everything and just leave everything what I was doing and come right down to where this is being preached. She said, that's what happened to me. It felt like God was telling me to come down here to hear the news of the Savior. And I'm like, wow, really, that's what happened. Well, here you are. Now, are you ready to quote all the verses yourself and make them all yours and just come to Christ today? She says, yes. She says, all right, read the rest of them to me so I can write them down, right? As a matter of fact, all these verses came up. She asked me about this verse. What's that verse where Jesus says, it's where two are gathered, I'm there? She brought this up, and I just pointed her to Matthew chapter 18, right? So she's writing them down. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. I gave her verse 3 and 4. She's writing it down. She says, okay, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them, where Jesus is here today. where he was in the park right there. So I kind of give it a little explanation. That's when there is a group as an assembly such as we have here that gather together to the name of Christ. That's when Jesus says he's going to be here. Now, Jesus doesn't have to say, "I promise." Every single word that Jesus says is true. Absolute, honest fact is the truth. She says, "Oh, I believe it, right?" So she's already agreeing to all this. Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, give us 16:31. Now I'm looking in my Bible. I want to show her the story, which she was very, very interested in this story. When the Philippian jailer saw an act of God happen, and then he saw an act of God happen, and he said, and he was so marveled at what happened, he asked Paul and Silas, he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Right? And they told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your household. She says, "Well, I'm believing on the Lord Jesus Christ." And he says, "I'm believing on the Lord Jesus Christ right now." And I said, "Now, let me just go ahead and further on a little bit." Now, when you see believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting Him for your salvation. Trusting Him to guide you through life. She says, "Yep, I'm willing to do that." All right? Wow, this is great. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I just want to say one thing about this. Not everybody that we see out there is so convicted of their sins that they want to just jump on the salvation news of Christ the first time they hear it, or even the second time they hear it. But when she heard the love of Christ and what He offers and what He will deliver her from, she said, "That's what I want." I was like, "Oh, wow, that's great." I says, "Well, if you believe all this and you want to make it your own, tell the Lord how you feel. Tell Him this and make it your own today." Right then and there, "Dear Jesus Christ," I hear her praying, "Dear Jesus Christ, I know I'm a lost sinner going to hell. I now claim You, trust You as my Lord and Savior. I repent from my sins and I follow You. Now, Your word says I have eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. I claim this today." And I help her close the prayer. "In the name of Jesus Christ I pray, amen." She says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, amen." She made it real right then and there. And she looked at me and she says, "Now I'm a child of God because I have trusted God's word." I said, "Yes, that's exactly right." And I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm like, "That's it. I'm a child of God now." And then she looked at me, and she says, "Boy, I feel so much better now. I feel wonderful, and I got all these shivers going through my body now." And I said, "Well, that's probably the Holy Spirit entering your body. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will dwell with you, okay?" She says, "Well, I like this. This has changed my life forever." Little do you know that just changed your life forever. Now you became a child of God because you trusted Christ. You trusted Christ. You believed His word. You made it your own. You turned it into your own. You embraced the Savior. You trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. You are saved. I gave her my phone number just in case she has any questions or help or anything. She wrote it down. I said, "Look, today's the day of salvation." She said, "Yep, today is the day I got saved." She said, "What's the date?" I said, "It's 8:21. I look at my watch and my phone, 7:20 p.m. Should I see you write it down? 8:21:16, 7:20 p.m. Became a child of God. I'm like, "Wow." I can't just let her, because she says she's going to be moving, right, to Ashland. She lives in Worcester. She came from Florida, and she was staying as a missionary in Worcester here, right? She's doing work for them and stuff, and she's going to be moving to Ashland. So I said, "Listen, just keep walking with the Lord. Trust your Lord. Now you can bring all your thoughts and prayers to the Lord. He will answer your prayers now because He says He will answer your prayers." All right? Now, I just want to say something. Just in case, I mean, we're going to be sinners until we get to heaven. I just want to say, just in case you commit a sin, we try not to sin. We try to repent from sins. We try not to sin. But just in case it happens, what does God say to do? Going to Proverbs chapter 28. So just in case you sin, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So that's what you do. If you commit a sin, you confess it right away to your Lord Jesus Christ and forsake it, and God will have mercy on you. All your sins will be forgiven. Okay? And she says, okay. And so I just pulled an example out of the hat. I said, well, just maybe you realize you lied or something, right? As soon as you realize you committed a sin, you confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ and forsake it right away. And then she comes out and says, well, yeah, that happened the other day. I said a lie the other day. It was kind of stupid and embarrassing, but somebody asked me something and I lied about it because I didn't want to say anything because I was embarrassed, right? And I said, well, you confess that and forsake it. That means you confess it to Christ right there as you are. You confess it as soon as you realize it. She says, yeah, I got to do that. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I lied to you. I forsake it. So now that means don't continue the lie anymore. Don't let it grow legs or anything. Don't try to say it anymore. Don't support it anymore. That means forsake it. Put an end to it. Even if you're embarrassed about it, ask the Lord to make it go away for you and just end that issue right away. She says, that's a new life for me. Child of God. Just became a child of God last Sunday night. We've been there for years. I haven't witnessed somebody actually coming to Christ in years, right? I'm going through all these months of people rejecting the gospel. So, good news there. Now, what I want to do is just close with one little portion from Luke, Gospel of Luke. Now, say you are here today. Say you are here today and you don't belong to Christ right now. But you want to be saved. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for your sins? You believe this? And you are willing to trust Him as your Lord and Savior? You don't have to come up anywhere. You don't got to say to anybody that a special prayer or something. If the conversion has taken place in your heart and you really will trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can make it happen in your heart right now. Turn to Luke chapter 7, or I think it's 5, Luke chapter 5, we're going to read verse 27 and 28. After these things, Jesus went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed Christ. If you really want to be saved, you want to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to stop going astray, you want to follow Christ to heaven, and this has taken place in your heart, you can stand up right now, and when you leave here, become a child of God, saying, yes, that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm coming to Christ to be saved. You can be saved just as easy as this is. You can walk out of here a child of God. You don't got to tell anybody, but you can just have it between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. You came to Christ today, and today will be your day of salvation. What's today's date? 8:28. 8:28, 12 o'clock, right on time. Today could be your day to be saved. God says today is a day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Let's close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he's still seeking those who want to be saved, seeking those who want to be saved. We thank you that he's saving people. Father, if there's anybody here that needs to be saved, is willing to trust Christ, come to Christ, Father, help them to do so. Help them to walk out of here a child of God, trusting Christ as their Lord and Savior for eternal life. We know the scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Father, continue to save souls. Continue to bring people to Christ. Bless the gospel outreach in the park tonight. Continue to bless this day. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.